A little-known chapter in the annals of music history is how funny music saved the life of the Hungarian composer Franz Liszt, who was growing increasingly despondent and indeed depressed after the bad public reception to many of his more recent, more challenging compositions. One day he found himself sat by the piano, reduced to simply playing a scale of A major up and down. Something remarkable happened. And then in walked Mr. Liszt's housekeeper. From this remarkable occurrence, the creativity and career of Franz Liszt were immediately revived. And in the process, he produced one of his most enduring and indeed most funny pieces of music. One of the strange things about music and humour for me is that usually music isn't intended to be funny, and it's something perhaps of an unspeakable thing for music to be funny. Somehow it detracts from the quality of it, or at least that's the way that a lot of people seem to think about it. The piece in the background from Hooked on Classics, to me, is very, very funny. Although I wonder if Louis Clark, when he composed this version of the Can-Can, intended it to be funny, or was it a quite serious intention to make Offenbach fill the dance floors again?
Are listening to the 14th and final edition of Codpaste, brought to you by people like us and Ergo Fizmiz on WFMU.org. And for this edition, we are going to be compiling a mega mix of the best of all the shows.
Jodida báscula, jodida orquesta, esta tarde a mí llover.
Which is also available at the WFMU blog through the homepage of WFMU.org.
That's a tango, isn't it?
That's a tango, yeah. Isn't it?
Picture you upon one knee.
Just tea for two and two for tea.
Me for you
and you for me alone.
Picture me upon your knee. Just tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone. Dear,
WFMU.org, brought to you by people like us and Ergo Fizmiz.
It took me a long time to realise the difference between them. In fact, when the podcast first came out, it took me about a year to figure out how it was remotely different to an MP3.
I know, and how it was functional in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in a way that's different to a blog. And really, it's just a podcast is good because it's something where it's organised for you. It's a bit like, you know, you don't. It's like getting your supermarket shopping delivered in a lorry.
Yes. Yes.
but.
Yeah. It's nice that how with WFMU, when you finish something, it just stays there and sits there.
It's not over. Yeah. It's got a life of its own.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
In the old days, like with radio, I mean, I used to record a cassette or a mini disc of the thing, make a little edit of it, and then eventually throw it away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh my God.
Doopity
la no hilo la hui ki va la mo ho ki ga i ru na no la mo o
no la mo o
ka no we na mo ho ki ga ki ga i ru na
I couldn't explain why, but certain kinds of foreign language records made me laugh, particularly German and Dutch speaking. The German sounded funny because it sounded so regimented, I guess. And also, it's very visual, and I can't help but visualise what's going on when these bits of music are playing. And so if I can, just much the same as if I'm hearing a record by the Muppets.
Oh, who needs money when we're funny? Great attraction everywhere will be Simon Smith and his dancing bear. It's Simon Smith and his amazing dancing bear.
Together! Yes! Oh, yes!
I find it really funny, probably a lot funnier than if I was watching it as well, because I can imagine Fuzzy Bear saying something or Animal doing something. And so it's very visual, and so when I hear these people leaping around a little village hall on the mountains in Lederhosen, I don't really need to see it to find it incredibly funny. And the same goes for Yoda music. It's so visual, and it's not intended to be funny at all. And, you know, I'm not laughing in a horrible way at it either, but it is funny. I've made about an hour and a half long mega mix of all the shows, and then I've pieced them all together, including, you know, various bits of mic breaks and conversations, and I think it sounds quite good, and we actually sound nuts because the context changes all the time.
I shall listen to it with some red wine.
Oh, good. Oh, no. Is that what umpa is, a polka?
Yeah, yeah. German beer drinking
right,
song,
okay.
And all that kind of business. You know, it's like
that's sort of it's marching music. Yeah. It's good, we're working it out.
And
also, yeah, and also I've got some sounds that sound like a giant walking.
If we look at how Carl Stalling composed his music for the Looney Tunes cartoons, there's documents of his cue sheets. So, you know, literally put in from the beginning to 10 seconds in, it's an original melody. From 10 seconds to 16 seconds is, you know, some pop song from the time for the next.
I'm going to forget saying where I'm digressing. I'm just going to go on a merry waltz around all these subjects. Yes, easy listening music is also referred to as, you know, mood music or light music or elevator music. Lift music, music for when you're standing in a lift. I mean, how more specialised do you want to get there? I've always sampled easy listening music because also it's very empty sounding and it has got such a lush atmosphere to it. To start with, particularly a kind of subgenre, exotica. And the main people involved with the exotica movement were Les Baxter and Martin Denny in the mid-1950s, and maybe the best-known song of the exotica movement could well be Quiet Village by Martin Denny.
The next 15 seconds he references Wagner or something, and it's a very clear cut and, you know, direct form of sound collage, really. I think before anyone else was doing that kind of thing, you know, because this is really from the 1930s.
Elastic bands are good too.
Yeah. If only I had some.
Right. So I'm wondering, we should sort of summarise it rather than just going, here's a megamix, bye.
Yeah,
shouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely. You know. Although I've been thinking about it, I don't know quite how to summarise it because it's gone to so many different sort of places, and it's a tough thing to summarise. But we can give some general summaries.
Well, it's a bit like that song "Favourite Things," isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, But what was the original idea for doing this Codpaste anyway? I'm just trying to remember. Yeah, here it is. It's Codpaste is a weekly podcast series in which two artists, People Like Us and Ergo Fizmiz, will attempt to compose collage music from the very beginning in a work-in-progress style, attempting to open up the creative process. The theory is that it is rare to see compositions made from the outset, and usually the audience are only invited in once the piece is finished, done and dusted.
When we were thinking of the sort of analogy of magicians revealing the tricks and things.
Yeah.
That sort of idea was quite nice for it, I think.
Found out the other week that waltz, apparently, I can't remember the exact translation of the word, but it was seen for years as a really dirty, vulgar dance. And the word waltz has something to do with rolling in the mud or something.
Oh.
It was seen as a really low down dance that peasants did or something.
The verb waltzen, whence this word is derived, implies to roll, wallow, welter, tumble down, or roll in the dirt or mire. What analogy there may be between these acceptations and the dance, we pretend not to say. But having seen it performed by a select party of foreigners, we could not help reflecting how uneasy an English mother would be to see her daughter so familiarly treated, and still more to witness the obliging manner in which the freedom is returned by the females.
Lenny D. These are all waltzes, apart from Lolita.
The thing about the Lenny D drum loop is that when making waltzes, what I keep finding is that you come to sort of put some percussion or some rhythm track over it. Nothing ever works as well as that Lenny D drum loop.
Well, there's very few waltzes that are empty. They
tend
to be very big, don't they? And Lenny D is very good because it's like organ music, but it's really close mimed or something.
You can blame it on the waltz, for it showed me that I was in love. The music made it clear to me that in my arms is where you belong, and now I have you near to me, thanks to a song. A waltz was born in Vienna, just a chance, little song of romance. Then Paris heard of its lilting refrain and made love to the strains of the dance. The whole world is captured, all hearts were delighted, and now by its magic we too are united. A waltz was born in Vienna, and it carried you into my arms. A waltz was born in Vienna, just a chant, little song of romance. Then Paris heard of its lilting refrain and made love to the strains of the dance. The whole world it captured, all hearts were delighted, and now by its magic we too are united. A waltz was born in Vienna, and it carried you into my arms. Ha ha ha.
So if we had that with some brass
and some megaphone going on, that kind of business,
yeah, then that would be an aggressive waltz.
Yes. Can we have some aggressive bagpipes as well? It's always nice to have aggressive bagpipes.
In the sounds I can get out of this vinyl record, you know, what can I do? These are some of the one-of-a-kind records that I used to make. I can, you know, cut the records and slice them into different pies. Depending on how I cut it, every crack in the record becomes a click that becomes part of the rhythm and is part of the music. I can also play a record off-center, so that will distort the sound.
I'm going to teach you how to sing.
You know...
Excuse me.
Huh?
Oh.
バカな他人を見たら口の中で勝手にすればと言ってればいいんだ。が、まさか他者との共存なんかであるはずはないと。バカな他人を見たら口の中で勝手にすればと言ってればいいんだという確信の共存。でも、バカな他人を見たら口の中で勝手にすればと言ってればいいんだという確信の共存。
Chushinzawa wrote a thing called How to Make a Dadaist Poem, and it said that to make a Dadaist poem, you, word by word, any piece of literature, sort of page from a book or whatever, put the words into a hat, cut it up, take any or newspaper into little pieces, and pull the words out. Then one by one, put them down, and whatever order they come out as.
Bingo!
That's your Dadaist poem. You know, the kind of words, and then I think the influence by William Burroughs and sound as a medium to that, cutting up dab, cutting up, and you know, people using Brian Geising when they started sound, and that's obviously
another thing with collage is that
it's not necessarily true that a musical collage is made up entirely of found samples. Way back to the electroacoustic music concrete composers who were, you know, recording their own sounds and then making collages using their own sounds in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. That amazing piece that's made, I think, out of the sound of a cash register.
Bingo!
And we put that in there. So also in the same way that Vicky and I, when we're creating collage, we often nowadays add live instrumentation on top of this. Collage is basically a way of creating music and, you know, visual art and film, which allows the whole world into the process, you know, or into the palette. It allows the whole world into the palette of composition, and certainly within the digital environment allows total creative freedom. Ta-da!
This is Codpaste, brought to you fresh from Norway.
Brought to you by people like us and Ergo Fismis.
First, the non-toxic Codpaste. It comes in tubes and it's made up by cod roe or fish eggs. It's a pink salty spread that goes well with hard-boiled eggs.
Playlists and archives for this are at wfmu.org/playlist/ct.
So I've just brought in a bunch of different tracks onto my multi-track. I use Pro Tools, which is a digital multi-track, which is one of many different multi-tracks that you can use. You can use many that are a lot simpler and cheaper than this as well. And shuffled various things around on the timeline. For instance, I've got De Bise by John Oswald, Hungarian Tango, which is an Ergo Fudge Factory mix, Bise, Carmen, and Nutcracker Suite, and simply just by moving things around, you get the inevitable chance coming about and making, well, basically there's two things that completely work together in the same key. And let's see what they sound like just playing together. point, Bizet runs out and the Nutcracker keeps going. But it took amazingly little effort to do that. I didn't have to do anything, really. It was just kind of like having two hula hoops and two sticks.
Certain pieces of classical music, particularly Renaissance music, you'll find, say, unaccompanied madrigal or motets, things like Monteverdi's madrigal collection, will mix with anything, slap it over anything, and it works. And then, as you go into Baroque music, it's a bit more complicated because it is so all very locked in rhythmically. But it's possible to get some lovely results combining the continuo type sounds from Baroque music, so the harpsichords and the bass instruments and everything, combining that with other things. And I suppose that's the other thing about classical music and using sampling, is that it's a lovely thing for helping build textures and sonic colours, because basically, I guess, not just with classical music but with sampling in general, what's exciting is that we have the whole world available to us, really to paint with, and classical music is a lovely thing to put on your paintbrush.
That's in tune, what we've just done. So it begins. With these situations, you tend to find one song that makes you think of another song, and so you start singing that in your head. And then, funnily enough, they tend to be in the same key or the same speed. I don't know, they just seem to work together. The brain just naturally wants things to go together in a way that we more obviously like to tie sound to the visual imagery we're seeing, even if you're listening to the radio and watching the TV with the sound turned down. The same applies to wanting sounds to mix together.
Hello.
Thing about pop music is it gets stuck in your head, goes round and round your head, then it starts mixing with all the other things in your head, and you start to realise you start to sing other songs just subconsciously, and then you may have woken up in the morning singing Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree, and by the evening you could be singing Up, Up and Away in My Beautiful Balloon, and I've not tried that one. I didn't say anything about it being a pleasant experience.
Hello.
But mashup movement was an inevitable reflection of the way that we want to put two different things together to get them to make a conversation, and the whole mashup thing is it's certainly not something that's in the last 5 years. It's been going on forever. If anything, the mashup thing started now as a result of living in, dare I say, a postmodernist society where we've reached a state of exhaustion, and everything is transparent now, and everything is on the surface. And
where were we when the coming of the rain made us turn from conversation to the window? In Mustard Fields, maybe, or the Love Jungle. And as we talked, we were with others, not ourselves. I was thinking of old birthdays and holidays gone wrong. Pretty people seen on streetcars but never met. Selling soda bottles to pay for movie matinees. I was 12. Tarzan was the man I most resembled in those days. How can I have grown so old without once swinging on a vine?
And then I would think of Zatumba from that. Well, that also makes me think of, there's a cartoon character does that.
The Tasmanian Devil. Yes.
How does he go?
He goes.
The mind is such a junkyard. Remembers candy bars. Frank Sinatra's middle name, but not the Gettysburg Address. within your mind there is some corner not yet occupied with numbers you may never need.
Like that, don't I? That's like Kachak, the Indonesian, where all the men get together, and some of them go, in unison, they all go like, chaka 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 chaka
monkey charm.
Yeah, yeah, and then you have a little, I always picture the very tiny little man, about 3 foot tall, like,
and you know who that sounds like?
And also you'll see that I'm actually very pitch correct.
Yeah.
boomers, snow white boomers, racing Santa Claus through the blazing sun. Six white boomers, snow white boomers, on his Australian run.
The sampling sort of idea can be a bit like alchemy, where you can't tell exactly what's gone into it, and it's surrounded by all this kind of, even down to the DJ, the idolization of the DJ sort of thing, and oh yeah, the DJ. It's really mystified, this thing of mixing and sampling. So
yeah,
it was nice to do something where it was just really almost practical, like we're doing this and do this and do this, and like how it's a bit like building cupboards or something.
Sorry. Our worry at the beginning was that we were going to sound like a couple of children's TV presenters, wasn't
and
it?
And we did for a while.
Yeah, we did for quite a while. Didn't we? And then we kind of relaxed into it, but I almost feel like we're turning back into them again now.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, it's like a journey where you go into a cupboard and into a netherworld, and then you have to come out through the cupboard again. Yeah, there were a lot of other things we were probably going to do with this. Like there's actually some things that you gave me right at the beginning that were actually on the subject of fish. And we haven't used any of it, so maybe actually we'll play some of that now.
The grams was nocturnal and Crane was a day fish. Hurry up now and swim fast away, fish. The rocks, they are pounding in surges. They're swimming like lunatic vicars, impressing the women. The whirlpools are brimming with endless debris. An oven, a tree, and a cocktail for three. A box and some socks and a riddle marie. Being sucked by the tumbles down into the waves. Poseidon will trap them in watery graves. How can you abide in the water? The 10 million fishies, like lambs to the slaughter. How can you begin to abide the surge of the surface, the swell of the tide?
Aquapalypse.
And then you get to a point of complete saturation where you've made something that was quite all right at 3 minutes into 20 minutes long with 25 layers, and it's filled up your computer. And then it's time to start taking it all out apart again and throwing it away.
Just heard a nice slab of collage from Vicky, and when I heard this straight away I thought of a Charlie Chaplin piece called Smile, very beautiful piece that Vicky and I are perhaps a touch obsessed with. We do get these obsessions for particular pieces of music, and Smile is one of them. In fact, just to let you in on this piece, if you don't know it, he has two versions of Smile, one by the London Philharmonic Orchestra and one by Sun Ra, playing at the same time.
you smile through your tears and sorrow. Smile, and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although
so I took little elements of this collage Mickey had sent and combined it with elements of Charlie Chaplin's Smile, and from that little session came this. So the opening loop of the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and pitch shifted down to make a nice little new melody. A beat from Vicky's collage. Little looped elements from different layers of a collage. I don't know what that is. That wheel. I can't remember. Here comes the giant now with a rum rum, walking slowly towards, creating little worlds and pictures because it's fun. And we figured it sounded like a giant. Now that is a sample of the musician Jack Phoenix, who I collaborate with, playing saxophone. A Parisian waltz piece. And then we get the statement of the full theme, of the smile theme. Counter melody of the Parisian thing. Offenbach's Barcarolle. And that voice, using in Vicky's collage too, is the girl with the prefabricated heart from the surrealist film Dreams That Money Can Buy. Lots of dancing mannequins. Smile pitch shifted up an octave. Bo thought, you see, I felt like there was something missing. And usually the reason, or one of the reasons, why we add live instruments to collage pieces is well, I suppose a few reasons. To create more texture, to create more counter melodies to everything else that's going on. And it can also give quite a different feel for many reasons. One, I'm not the most proficient of musical players. And two, I can't even remember what I just said. What did I say? And it can also give quite a different feel for many reasons.
Oh yeah, that's it.
It's because the way of playing instruments is very fundamentally different to using samples, because you can improvise with samples, but it's a slower process. Improvisation is with instruments is instantaneous. So I decided to add more layers of instruments to play over this track. So some violins, some pitch shifted ones to sound like cellos, and some hitting the strings with the bow. So we get little counter melodies, we also get little counter rhythms. Deep sound. For a counter bass melody thing. Some guitar. Which I didn't really need to say, did I? I didn't need to say some guitar, because you knew. You could tell what that was. And once this sort of thing has been recorded into the computer, then basically it becomes another element in the collage, and becomes basically another sound source. And then, say, I then pass a collage back over to Vicky that has instrumental recordings also collaged in, then she fundamentally will treat it the same way as all the other sound sources. And they're arranged in the same way within the collage. Some spoons. Because spoons are always good. Now, if I would have had access a recording of someone playing the spoons better than I can, which I expect is easy to find, because most people who play spoons play them better than I do, they always fall out of my fingers. I don't know, I would have used that, but I didn't have it, so I recorded some spoons. There's also a typewriter here. There's the violin line from right near the beginning, collage back in, and this deep thing. Together, so the collaged samples and the collaged samples of instruments.
Mm-hmm.
don't turn off, because you like it really, don't you? Easy listening, just like ABBA. You like it, don't you? We all like it. How can you not like it? It's nice. You like it really, don't you? Easy listening, just like ABBA. You like it, don't you? We all like it. How can you not like it? It's nice. It's nice. It's nice. It's nice. And I think that's the thing that attracts us to easy listening, is that it's nice. It's not nasty. It's not unexpected. It's not shocking. It's not ironic. It's not postmodern. It's just easy and it's nice. And you listen to it. And it's as simple as that. Or is it? I mean, is it that simple? Is anything that simple? I don't think anything is that simple, actually. The thing that that's made me like easy listening, I think, is partly knowing that, well, a lot of people automatically don't like it, even though they actually don't consider that opinion, and actually... Well, how can you not like Burt Bacharach? How can you not like Glen Campbell? How can you not like the well-known pop hits that are now called easy listening? I don't know. How can you not like Burt Bacharach? How can you not like Glen Campbell? How can you not like the well-known pop hits that are now called easy listening? I don't know. You like it really, don't you? Easy listening, just like ABBA. You like it, don't you? We all like it. How can you not like it? It's nice. You like it really, don't you? Easy listening, just like ABBA. Just like ABBA.
Why do I sample easy listening? It's a very difficult question. Because I use it a lot.
Just like ABBA.
One thing is that in particularly good easy listening, there is often some great musicianship, and you can find fantastic sound sources because they're being immaculately performed. Also, it's about, if you use easy listening, it seems to automatically carry its own spirit through, so you get something of the spirit and atmosphere of a lot of this music. For example, it's very hard to sample an Exotica record without coming out with something redolent of Exotica at the end. No matter how morphed and transformed, it still remains that little bit exotic. You can still picture yourself surrounded by hula girls on a Hawaiian beach, sipping cocktails, and looking out to sea. The sun rising. You've been up all night. This is paradise. Paradise.
I'm just hitting my cup on the table. Well, there you
Hooray.
Go. Hooray!
You have been listening to Codpaste with
people like us
and
Ergo
Bizmiz
on
WFMU.org. Okay. And you can stream the entire series of Codpaste at wfmu.org/playlist/CT.
And also at that URL, you can contact Vicky and Ergo and also find a link to the exclusive Codpaste website.
Just very interesting to try, you know, as a collage composer, to try the same sound within various contexts and to see how the sound can be transformed and what sort of context the sound works in and what happens to the sound when it's juxtaposed with other things, and then also things like the transformation of the sound, so taking a melody line from Nana Mouskouri or goodness knows who else, and then, you know, and you can hear that, and then later on maybe hear the same thing but just, you know, a loop or from the Nana Mouskouri thing, and then pitch shift a few layers of it or something to create harmonies, and it's recognisable as a thing you heard earlier, but it's also different. because it's been transformed.
When I start these compositions, I rarely have the faintest idea of what I'm going to do or what's going to happen, which might come as no surprise to anyone who listens quite regularly. But really, I just import about 5 different bits of music that I like or that have a really good intro or something. And then on the timeline, which is Pro Tools, I just generally lay out different sections and make about 3 different songs out of those, and then see which samples work in more than one of those songs.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care.
The composition, which has got many parts, it's because maybe it works in more than one part, and so therefore it enforces parts of the composition.
When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to play. You give me fever.
Whereas maybe if I'd known about how to do composition in an academic sense, I would never have made this in the same way.
You give me fever.
But I guess we'll never know.
It can also have a comic effect, and I suppose it can in non-collage-based music as well. But to hear, one sound early on in a piece, playing with something else, and then to hear the same sounds maybe transformed into something comic or ridiculous later on, or also just the juxtaposition that what the piece is with can be funny. To give a really trite example, if you have something, you start something off and you're sampling some 19th century operetta.
Yep.
And then later on, so the piece progresses and becomes increasingly wild and strange, and all sorts of samples flying around over the place. By which time, you may have completely forgotten that this did start out as 19th century operetta. And then suddenly, once the collage has reached its strange climax, the operator can come back in, and that, you know, that can, in theory at least, be funny.
I dropped this Tarzan in, or rather Tarzan dropped in, as a result of me sitting on the bus earlier, and someone had Tarzan as a ringtone. And I normally hate ringtones, but I thought it was utterly hilarious. And it also brought to mind something that I can't believe I never thought about before. Tarzan is yodeling here.
Another thing that's always interesting to do is to take a theme that's reoccurring and then to transcribe it for instruments and create the same music but transcribed for instruments. Didn't need to say that twice, did I? But I did. Sorry. Good God.
Hello?
So just this whole idea of sound sources and the different ways that they can be treated...
Hello?
...is interesting. And it can be fun. And I think I need a cup of tea. Okay, that's all I can think of.
Been listening to the final edition of Codpaste with People Like Us and Ergo Fizmiz, which is archived at wfmu.org/playlists/CT.
You've been listening to Codpaste with People Like Us and Ergo Fizmiz.
Rossi, sieh doch nur. Ich glaube, wir sind im Wilden Westen gelandet.
Full playlists and archives for this series can be found at wfmu.org/playlists/CT.